I enjoy when things are not totally, when there's no like strong path. You know, that's why I've always liked working in the advanced development world, where you're creating stuff and then you have to make the market for it. You know, people don't even understand that sometimes when they're, even the startup people don't even understand that sometimes, you know. Yes. They think that they're going to create their technology thing that everyone can see their exact vision.
Yeah.
It's like they see it. And it's like, no, you have to actually make the market for your device. Even if there's value to it, there's still a long road to go down in terms of educating, understanding, showing people the value, so that, you know, then they wake up in the morning thinking like, oh yeah, I do need one of those. Then you know the market's made.
You are listening to Hooked on Startups, where every week you'll hear from some of the most talented, inspiring, and successful entrepreneurs who share their real life stories, how they overcame challenges and failures, and how they mastered success. Get ready for some of the best business tips, tricks and tactics, and some frank, unscripted discussions. Here's your host, Matthew Sullivan.
On today's episode of Hooked on Startups, I am delighted to have none other than Jim Cirillo. So, Jim, welcome to the show.
Matthew, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
That was your cue to say hello or something.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't sure. Okay.
Yes, so it's a sort of normal sort of transactional thing. We So, Jim, you should know this stuff because you're the host of Jim's Reinvention Revolution, which is a fabulously named podcast. So you should be used to all this sort of saying hello and all that sort of stuff at the beginning.
You know, I'm getting used to it.
How does it feel being on the other end of a podcast?
You know, it's a little bit awkward because I'm used to being near seat, you know, asking the questions and kind of having the landscape in my mind of where this will go. So I don't know where this is going to go. So I'm a little nervous about that.
Oh, that's good. Well, then we'll sort of maintain that slight edge for you so that, you know, we don't want to make life too comfortable. But we met at something fabulously known as the Podcast Movement Conference, which was, about a couple of months ago in Anaheim, Southern California. So it was this really, you know, because I never saw myself as being a podcaster. I never imagined, you know, when you're at school, when people say, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, you've got astronaut, firefighter, podcaster. Right. I mean, but listen, and we will go on to explain exactly why podcasting is the most fun you can have with your clothes on. But we met at the podcast movement, which was hosted by none other than Josh Ellidge. So he had this great, right. What was it? Some sort of like a mastermind group or?
Yeah, it was like the day before the official kickoff of Podcast Movement. I think we called it the Fame and Profit Lab.
Lab. Yes.
Yeah. He got together a cool cadre of speakers to kind of talk about how to promote your podcast and how to promote your personal brand and those kind of things.
And these, I mean, so Jim, you are, you know, your background is engineering, General Motors, consulting, you know, did you walk around wearing a white coat, you know, with, you know, hard hat, that sort of stuff. So did you ever imagine that you would be the host of a podcast at some point?
No, of course I did not. I mean, this didn't really exist, you know, until really just a few years ago in terms of the average zeitgeist. I mean, it's getting more popular, but no, I never imagined it. But you know what? This has turned out to be something that is very interesting for me because I've always been a musician, so forever. So, you know, I play saxophone, I played in bands, and I've led really these separate lives of engineering, hardcore engineering, big corporate scene, working for General Motors, ended up leaving there after a while, worked for Corning, got into the high-tech world. But I've always been a musician all the way along. And like I said, I never thought about getting into podcasting. At one point, I thought maybe I'll break away and try some different online things. And that kind of thought process led me to podcasting because it was familiar to me because, you know, I've been in recording studios. I've recorded, you know, tracks and stuff with my horn and different bands and stuff like that. I thought, oh, well, maybe this is maybe bringing some of my different worlds together of technology, music, recording sound, and just the other, you know, sort of lifestyle stuff I'm interested in.
Well, tell me about the Reinvention Revolution podcast.
Okay. This goes back a little ways now. So my anniversary of consulting in 2017 is my 10th anniversary of Jimmy M Group, which is the name I call my consulting business. So we'll go way back when we won't spend too much time on this, but you know, I left General Motors. I wanted to get in the high tech scene around 98. And I got into, started working in the physical layer of the internet. So I worked for a small fiber optic company and then Corning. And this is when things are really bubbling up, startup mania for the physical layer. And then 9/11 happened and I was living in Boston.
But the physical layer, that's basically the pipes, the wires, the, and this was at the beginning of fiber optic technology, really, I guess. So this, if you're talking late
90s. Yeah, right. Sorry, I mean to skip over there for people that are listening that may not understand all that stuff. But you remember like in the early 90s when the internet started, it was kind of the dot-com era. So it was like pets.com and all these crazy ideas.
But also we need to talk about modems and things that, that sort of whistled at you when you connected. And the fact that you had to dial up to a someone's local phone number. So you were involved in building all of the sort of internet infrastructure way back before it was famous.
Yeah, I guess you could think of it like that. I mean, there was this initial dot-com era that got everything going. And then people realized, oh my gosh, we need massive bandwidth, you know, like more so than just the phone lines, like the AOL, you know, dialing startup kind of stuff. And so the fiber optic industry was kicked into like high gear, like really high gear. And in advance of this, the state of the industry actually was sort of a small cottage industry of just sort of independent people that were doing optics, maybe as a defense contractor, for example, like they were making optical detectors for some nuanced sensing application, but they had a high-speed optical detector. And now all of a sudden the applications had changed and they're like, hey, we need this just for bandwidth, massive bandwidth for like long-haul telecom, metro networks, short-haul stuff. And so there was kind of an arms race. I don't know if you're privy to this kind of stuff or remember, but there was an arms race between Corning and JDS Interphase. So it's getting a little nerdy here, but
two companies that were
all of a sudden in a fight to be full service suppliers for the physical layer. So up until this point, for example, Corning only made fiber. They're a material science company that was good with glass. And so they just lucked into being the owner of the fiber optic world, essentially. But now they realized, hey, we got to be a system supplier. We got to supply like erbium doped fiber amplifiers, for example, like something that amplifies the optic signal. We got to supply multiplexers and demultiplexing optic connections so that you can connect, you know, the laser diodes to those connections and all this kind of stuff. So like really soup to nuts that had never existed before. All these, you know, little startup companies had all these little pieces of the pie. So Corning and JDSU were big competitors and they went on a buying spree of all these companies, component supply companies. So I worked for one of the divisions of Corning, like Lasertron, doesn't exist anymore. But Corning had bought it, so it was Corning Lasertron. And it was a really chaotic time of life being in the high-tech world. And it's probably just the normal life of being in the high-tech world looking back on it, but it was just chaotic, you know. So, you know, new companies were starting, people were getting bought up. And even when you were making money, it was like very stressful, you know, even though you were successful. It was just
Stress coming from the fact that you just don't know, everything's moving so fast. But
I
want to talk about the pace of change, because change is something that is happening. It just seems to be getting faster and faster and faster, and things seem to
I'm glad you bring this up, because this is my point. So, you know, if you can kind of get an idea of what I experienced already in the engineering, physical engineering world. Okay, so this was right before 9/11. I was living in Boston. Then 9/11 happened, the tech bubble burst. Everybody got laid off. I ended up moving back to Ohio, where I'm from originally. I got into the lighting business. I thought, you know, it was still had to do with optics, but I wanted to kind of get out of the high tech scene and thought, oh, lighting is cool. It's more design oriented. I'm, you know, sort of a combination of technology and I like style and design. So I thought, oh, this would be fun. I could still use my optic stuff. But literally, like a year or two into working in the lighting industry, it has now been taken over by Silicon Valley, by solid state lighting. Okay. So like, no matter where you go, the pace of change is happening. It's like, you can't escape this change anymore, you know? And that was another chaotic scene, because it was kind of a startup company. And so I ended up quitting because I was frustrated by the management teams. I've known a lot more with my experience on the coast of how to do a company like that. And these guys weren't that experienced. So it was frustrating for me to be there. So anyways, ended up quitting. And I lucked into consulting. I was sitting home, like just in my underwear one day, and somebody called me and said, hey, we have some questions about fiber optics. Can you help us answer them?
Hopefully not on Skype.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, yeah. Back then, nobody was using Skype like that. I think Skype maybe was probably around, but yeah, the video part was not so.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah,
thank God. You're right. Yeah. So it turned out to be a advanced technology department of one of the local hydraulics companies here. And they were working on sensing systems, so it got me into this consulting world. And at the time, I didn't want to take a job. I was so frustrated with sort of technology in the scene and how things were moving so fast. And I was really starting to think about lifestyle design. So like, you know, how can I make money? How can I diversify my income? But how can I still be involved in technology? I wasn't exactly sure. So I wasn't consulting hardcore. I was just consulting part-time as I grew the idea of Jimium Group. So I've been able to do that, and it was kind of one step out of the corporate scene.
But it's just, I mean, this is a common frustration, it seems. So you've got, you see everything happening around you. So you've got this rapid pace of change. And yeah. you mentioned the word sort of frustration a number of times. And is that because you just couldn't find somewhere to get involved, or that you felt that it was passing you by, or that you were torn between one half of your brain, whether it's left or right, I can never remember, saying you need to have this solid job, whereas the saxophonist and the band player inside you are saying, yeah, let's go out and be in the brave
world. Yes to all the above. Okay. So for whatever reason, and if you look at, you know, like great entrepreneurs of the past and even of the present, like I was looking in your background a little bit. So Richard Branson, so it looked like you had some experience working with him. To me, he is like this artist entrepreneur. He's an entrepreneur, he's a business person, but he has this cachet of seeing the world in a different way. He's got this different vision, and he's interested in doing something with some style to it, you know? And that's always kind of been me, because I loved music and saxophone. My brain is integrated different from other people, just what I've noticed. You know, I'm not a hardcore nerd. I'm not a real sales-oriented guy that's on the other end of the spectrum, perhaps. But I'm this integrated kind of person. And so I was looking for my spot there. You know, that's why I always ended up in applications or strategic marketing. Like, I like the strategic vision stuff. And I could see the world. You know, I could see the future. And some of the companies I was working with were either way off the deep end, too technical-oriented, and they didn't understand how to do business even. This was the chaos of the startup days of the physical layer there, where they weren't really even interested in customers. They were like interested in the technology and just hoping to get bought out. I mean, it was just a different thing.
But where you are now, so about 10 years ago, plus or minus, you set up Jimium Consulting. So was that the big sort of leap where you went, well, I just can't figure out where I am in this whole corporate world. So I'm going to put one leg in the corporate world and one leg in the sort of entrepreneurial world.
Right.
But were you sort of caught between two stools, as it were?
I was, yeah. And it was kind of like I had to kind of grow into being a consultant. You know, like the day one, I don't exactly know how to do it. So I had to learn quickly. You know, my first year and a half was a big learning curve of how to talk to companies and how to have them treat you and how to just set up my business and all the just nuts and bolts of doing that, setting up my website, et cetera. I remember setting up the website. I picked the name Jimium Group because I thought it might be the name of a band or something like that. I just wanted to pick something. I just had pulled the domain just to learn how to do it. And then I lucked into this this opportunity, and that became the name of the consulting company.
And then again, sort of fast forward to where we are today. So, and again, it seems like the pace of change hasn't slowed down, unfortunately, since...
No, it has not. I thought maybe I could get out of it and try to live a different type of life, which I've been doing over the past 10 years, and play more music and do other things and still help customers that I want to work with, because I have a very good skill set, which I really didn't realize what a great training ground General Motors was, for example. So I worked in their advanced development area.
But why would you want to escape? So with all this technical background, and this is curious because I'm sure it's a pain that many people feel, which is you see stuff happening around you at a ferocious rate, and it feels like you can't keep up. It feels like you're never going to be able to. It feels like the world is gone. And was that the feeling that you felt? Like, okay, I'm. Well, it's kind of passed me by. I'm never going to figure out what the hell these guys are talking about. So I'm going to go and, you know, live in a cave somewhere.
I don't know. There's some of that definitely going on these days. Okay. back then there wasn't so much. For me, it was working in a big organization. They couldn't move fast enough. I could see the world and what was going on. I had the vision, but these larger, you know, industrial corporations that I was working with, it wasn't working at Apple or Google. I felt they weren't moving fast enough. So I was frustrated there. And then when I got into the real startup high tech scene, it was too chaotic for me at that time. And it was just a crazy aberration of like around 2001. It was just nonsense. It really kind of burnt me out of the industry. I just wanted to escape it for a while. And so then I kind of went on my own and was consulting. And through that, I thought, you know what? Now, like you said, things are moving very fast. I feel like after I've seen all this stuff, that there's no other time than today that I feel things are moving even faster. It's like we're at a new inflection.
So what are you doing? So where are you? Are you rebelling, or are you because you've launched this podcast, The Reinvention Revolution. So is this a case of Jim saying, right, okay, I'm going to saddle up and jump on this
horse and right. So here's the thing. So I thought, like, you know what? Things are moving fast. There's so many different types of opportunities now. Okay. This is the thing to me, is that there's different opportunities now because of the maturation in a way of the internet, because of the social networks that have happened, because in the ways you connect and can reach out, that now is the time. So now is the time, more so than any time before, that this whole, you know, entrepreneurship or solopreneurship thing has been unleashed. Okay. And it's really, everybody's talking about it because the opportunities are real. So I thought, hey, this is maybe my chance to pull out, you know, my other foot out of the corporate world, because, you know, I still consult back to those types of companies, which is fine. You know, if it's a project I like, I'm still doing it now. But maybe this is an opportunity to start my own business, be a real entrepreneur, and dig into this new digital world. So really how I got started digging into it was about a year and a half ago. I just dove in and started taking some courses online. I bought some packages and just some crazy stuff. I thought, you know, the only way to learn about this stuff is to try to learn it from people that are actually doing it. You know, you can't go to take a course at a university anymore to learn any of this stuff. You know, that was, you know, a 20th century model in a way. I mean, yeah, the way that it works today. So I started learning about dropshipping and the digital world. And I put this store together. I was actually going to do a dropshipping store last fall, about a year ago. And then I got sick and someone in my family died. I kind of lost momentum with it. But I still wanted to keep learning about the digital world, and podcasting is part of that digital world. So it really, and while I was trying to learn all this stuff, it was like brutal for me to learn it. Okay. Because even though I'm an engineer, I have a technical background, I have a BS in physics, master's in optics, but learning all this stuff was very difficult for me because I'm not a digital native in this way. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to bear down and try to learn it. And it felt like me, with the vision of seeing things that are happening out there, I realized, wow, in order to take advantage of these opportunities that are open to all of us now, the world is changing and reinventing itself, but I have to reinvent myself along with it. And that was the genesis for Jim Jim's Reinvention Revolution. It's a revolution, you know, it's changing all these different business models. It's really disruption in a lot of different places, but in order to take advantage of it, order to not get blindsided by it, you really got to change yourself.
Well, again, because what you've done is, I mean, you've had this massive challenge where everything, it seems, that you've been that you've learned, and everything that you've done, and maybe the way you've been brought up, I'm not sure, says, look, it goes against the grain. So in other words, reinventing yourself, getting involved in the digital world, is really difficult because there is such a massive learning curve. So what you've done, I mean, was there a moment when you thought, okay, I've just got to get into this? I mean, what was it that was telling you to do that? Was it money? Was it a desire to learn how this thing works? Was it fear of missing out? Or what was it to drove you into this?
I think that really the opportunity for lifestyle design for me personally. So I'm a musician. I think if anybody out there is listening who's a musician, their whole dream is just to play music with their buddies all day long. And that's all they want to do. You know, because like once you get to a certain level as a musician, it's fun. And that's really your everybody's dream. But, you know, it may or may not be realistic in terms of making money, surviving, and living a fuller life if you want to do other things, see the world, et cetera. But I think with the digital world, you have these opportunities to, hey, I could really bear down and create a project over the next 3 years, work my butt off, get something, you know, develop some products or develop a process or whatever it might be that can really pay you back, because now we're connected to 6 billion other people. You know, so in a short term, you can really design the lifestyle that you would like to live, and then you can go on to do other projects or do a more project-based lifestyle where, you know, I'm going to work and bear down for 6 months and I'm going to go travel for 6 months.
So you know? That's the headline.
Yeah.
What's the reality?
What's the reality? Well, I'm working on it. So what's cool about it is the podcast has been awesome. I met great people through it, like yourself. So thanks again for having me on. And I've been able to make connections and dig into projects or start to look at technologies that on my own terms now, you know, where they're not for specific clients, where it's like, okay, well, if I want to go learn about, you know, cryptocurrency, for example, I can dig into it and I can find someone and talk to them about it. It's really enabling me to find more people that are in my tribe that think like me. And one of my frustrations is when you get into a certain project, like there might be two guys on the project that understand the technologies and understand the vision of what you need to do. And then there's 20 other people that are the corporate structure that you have to deal with that they may or may not get it. And, you know, they're just not the right type of people to be hanging around to execute the project.
You see, I think what you've done is incredibly brave and very courageous, because obviously you were in an environment that was, that you were capable and you were suited to, and you were probably paid very well. And many people would just say, well, okay, I'm going to sacrifice this pipe dream of having a lifestyle and I'm going to go along with that. And I'm just going to end up being resentful. And, you know, and on my gravestone, it will say, I wish I'd spent more time in the office. But the other really interesting thing to talk about is that it's incredibly difficult to do it. So if you go onto Facebook, every third posting is someone trying to sell you a course to tell you how to make $20 million before the end of the week. And, right. And what have you found about those? Because you mentioned that you went on various courses. And so you're right. Starting from this real ground zero, as it were, with this desire. Without that digital knowledge, you haven't been brought up with a mobile phone sort of, you know, duct taped your ear. So what are these, what are they like? What is the reality of trying to navigate your way in the digital world?
Well, I think you hit on something there in that it's not easy, and it's, you have to kind of decide within your own mind. And really this is one decision I made when I decided I was going to start consulting. So, you know, I quit and I was frustrated with just my past experiences. And I moved around a bunch. I moved like every 2 years for like 8 years in a row because of the startup, you know, sort of zone I was in. And I realized, like, you know, you might make this, you know, certain particular salary. Let's say it's 100K or something like that. And if you stay with it, and you might bump your salary up to, you know, maybe double that or something over time, or, you know, depending on what location you're living in. But if you're at this level, you know, the amount of money is not going to significantly change your lifestyle. You know, it just means you drive a nicer car. Just means you go out to dinner at nicer restaurants. It doesn't, you know, materially really change your life in some significant fashion. And so that was.
Felt that way, or is that something that you've come to think that over a period of time?
Well, you just look at the people around you, like, you know, General Motors, again, was a great experience of just looking at, you know, do you want to be one of those guys that climbs the corporate ladder? There's no higher corporate ladder than trying to climb to the top of General Motors. And you see the lifestyle that provides, and you see like, oh, you know, so I can have a house that looks like that. And, oh, that guy's got a boat. And, you know, it's interesting, but you do see the trade-off of their life. You know, they spend a lot of time in the office, and their whole life is built around the company, and they have to go to company functions. And, you know, this is just how it works if you're going to climb that ladder. You know, there's no like downtime when you're a VP, you know, when you're working for a big company like that, you know, all your weekends, you're doing some kind of social thing and that kind of stuff. So it was like,
But it's not an escape. What you're doing, you're not, because you talked before, you mentioned before about frustration, and this is not an escape, is it? It's really just saying, clearly there's something inside me that is just trying to, I'm trying to tell myself, look, I really just shouldn't be in this environment. I need to be able to spread my wings. So,
yeah, because it felt confining, and you know, it wasn't kind of like the people that I would necessarily enjoy in life to, you know, socially. And I kind of made this decision like, hey, I think I could do this consulting. I think there's something else out there. I think I could maybe do something on my own if I spent time on my investments and understanding kind of the financial world better, rather than like, well, I made a lot of money, but I had no idea what to do with it. And I didn't really invest over the years because I never had time to think about it. And I gave it to somebody else to invest. And maybe that's maybe not the best idea, or maybe it is a good idea. I don't know. But I just took some time to think, you know, made some space in my life to think about it. And so I've been able to get a handle on my finances and investing. That keeps me going. I've just, you know, kind of gotten different revenue streams together. I've got rental properties and other things going on. But now, like I said, is the whole internet has really opened up, and now's the time to understand these technologies. And just because you may get blindsided by them, or you might want to take advantage of the different technologies that are
out. But the thing is, now you've given yourself that breathing space. Yeah. You've become in control of the velocity of what's happening around you, because you've now got time to focus on things. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yeah. I mean, I really think that people don't really take time to sit back and assess what they're doing. You know, you can react a lot, and people just live their whole life in reaction mode, where it's like, oh my God, I have to do this because my boss said so, or I got laid off, I better find another job. You know, it's just a continual reaction versus sitting back and thinking about, wait a second, what, you know, looking at the chessboard and thinking about what moves can I make, you know, trying to look at the destination and reverse engineer how you might get there, how you might get to a different destination or somewhere where you really want to go.
Well, that's the engineer. That's the engineer in you speaking. So now we're hearing the saxophone player.
Right. You know, versus like, you know, trying to just go along with what society expects of you or thinks of you. I mean,
My point is that there's a point where you've got to leap in, surely. Is that...
You got to. And that's the mindset that you have to really retrain your mind, keep expanding your mind, find your right tribe that you got to be around. That's why I like the startup world, you know, because those people are not afraid to jump in. They're being creative. To me, I think there's this real connection between artist and entrepreneur. So yeah. Like, you know, the music business, you know, people that are really successful in the music industry, for example, yes, they're great musicians individually, but they're great marketers. They understand business. And when you're an artist level, by definition, almost you're an entrepreneur.
You know, is creativity the thread that sort of connects all of those skills that you just mentioned?
Yeah, I think it is for me. Yeah. I mean, to me, there's nothing more frustrating than, you know, someone who's just locked into just one zone of thinking or one experience in life. And maybe it's a reaction to my parents, you know, or the how life used to be. You know, my parents, my dad had one job his whole life.
Look, you know, you're not alone.
That seems a little crazy to me, you know.
It's not I don't think it's a reaction, because you're not rebelling. So it's a revolution. It's not a rebellion.
Right.
And there is a difference, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
But the other thing I want to talk about is disruption, because disruption is a very positive word in some respects, you know. And someone I can't remember who it was I was talking to, but they were saying that there's disruption with an I, and then there's disruption with a Y, as in dysfunctional disruption.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. Right.
And I've just come back I spent 2 days at the BlockCon conference in Santa Monica last week, which was blockchain conference. And, you know, I can tell you, for me, you just know, you have this feeling that you've got to get involved. But as you were saying earlier, it is this momentous task to try and figure out, you know, what these things, you know, what people are saying, because it's a foreign language written backwards, upside down, inside out. You know, I felt like I turned up at some sort of, you know, convention where literally I couldn't figure out what anyone was saying, but I was busy. I was nodding a lot and going, yes, that's interesting.
Yeah, all right.
But I mean, now, well, you know.
Why did you go?
It's really because I knew that I had to go because there is so much happening in this space. And I don't think it is fear of missing out. It's, as I was saying just now, it's faint signals from the future. It feels like the internet back in the late 90s when we were just at this cusp and there were some people saying, it's never going to catch on. It's just a bunch of guys playing with computers. And, you know, Amazon.com, you know, they're a disaster waiting to happen. They don't even make a profit. And you just know, hang on, there's something there. And what I've found, and I've been really looking into blockchain and cryptocurrencies for months and months now, so it's not quite as bad as it was, as I made it out to be. But you just know that it's almost like a religion. So there is so much confidence and support from people within the blockchain community where there's so much sharing and collaboration, which is seismically different to what's happening in the traditional centralized world where you sort of keep everything very close to your chest. Right. So, you know, if you're a believer in this concept of abundance and sharing and, you know, growing by sort of groups as opposed to just focusing on yourself, it was just a fantastic. And so that's why I'm sort of, you know, really excited about that.
Right. Oh,
I didn't mean to make this all about me suddenly. Yeah.
No. I'm on the same wavelength, and you know, I've been looking into it. You know, I bought a little Bitcoin just to try to understand how this is working. And but yeah, it's one of those things where you just, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg of all these changes that are really happening, like on top of each other. So like the whole sharing economy, like the Uber concept, Airbnb concept, blockchain, Amazon. You know, all these things are just coming together simultaneously. You know, the Internet of Things that's going to be happening.
Yeah.
Augmented reality. I mean, that's why I say, like, we're at this new inflection point that it just begs you to get out there and understand it. And if you're going to get out there and understand it, it's no longer where, yes, some people were born into the digital world and they're more adept at it, like younger folks. It's, to me, it's no longer this younger versus older thing or that kind of thing. It's like, you know, if you take your eye off the ball for a year, 6 months, you might really just not even understand what's happening in the world anymore. And that requires a change of thought process for all of us. You know, like before you could kind of be like, oh, it's happening over there in that industry, it's not going to affect me. But now these are really systemic, kind of changes to the architecture of finance, for example, with blockchain, you know.
No, you're right. And I think, so that's the positive disruption. So, and I think that if you are working for yourself, if you are an entrepreneur, if you are able to look at these things, it's the place that you need to be, because I think the people that will get left behind are the people that look through the kaleidoscope and say, you know, this is never going to affect me. It's never going to be part of my life. But I think the pace of change, we were talking about this earlier, is happening. It is almost like Moore's law, where change happens. It's almost like the square each year. It just gets faster and faster, exponentially quicker. And for example, the amount of money that's been raised through ICOs this year is billions of dollars, which exceeds the amount of money that's been raised through the VC market, which is, you know, unheard of. So,
yeah, I was just reading an article about that this might be kind of the new way for venture capital or to fund new technology-based startups, is with cryptocurrency versus just the traditional VC.
I just don't think anybody knows, but I just know that it's just happening incredibly quickly. So, and then just coming back to your podcast. So to be able to get into this digital world, was the podcast the way in? Was that the bridge between the non-digital world and the digital world, the human and the digital?
Yeah, for me it was. I realized when I started really kind of researching e-commerce, drop shipping, things you can do online. I mean, there's just a number of them, you know, like fulfillment by Amazon type of stuff, you know, like ebooks, Kindle publishing. I mean, just there's just a laundry list of stuff that you can get into, blogging. I realized, wow, this is really happening. There's people really recreating their lives, really coming from, you know, I met this one guy, he told me, he's like, yeah, I was just driving a forklift at Walmart. And he started some dropshipping stores, and now he's like this dropshipping guru, making millions of dollars. And it's like, what? You know, like this seemed fanciful, you know, like just a few years ago. now it's common.
Yeah, but it is. But as you were saying, so it's not easy though. I mean, it does take.
No, it's not easy. You need to take action. You need to learn. You need to train yourself. But I just got so turned on by all the stuff that's really happening, people's stories of transformation and how they're reinventing themselves, realizing I needed to reinvent myself. And I have this perspective of, you know, being in technologies and understanding kind of the larger corporate world, that I think I can bring a point of view to the reinvention and put some context around it versus people feeling so overwhelmed. Because if you're trying to do something new, you might be just completely overwhelmed with, where do I go? What do I do? What do I do first? You know, you might just feel just completely left out. Like, you know, you just want to go home and crawl into the corner and pull the covers up over yourself and just cry yourself to sleep at night.
I know that feeling. You know, anyone that's tried to figure out, you know, WTF the blockchain is all about has probably, you know, had that same feeling of wanting to crawl into the corner and cover yourself up and, you know, wait for the idiot's guide to be published.
Right. And it's a natural reaction, you know, and I try to fight it within myself. You know, like people think like, and this is how it always happens. It happens like something just comes on the scene that people completely dismiss. So like, you know, people for years have completely dismissed social media, for example, like Facebook, Snapchat, all these things. They think it's for kids, or it's for junior high people, or it's for weirdos or whatever it's for, you know. But like Facebook, for example, I mean, they're going to take over the whole media industry.
Yeah.
Like if you're not, you know, the live video, you know, broadcasting with Facebook, for example, you know, if you're a network out there like NBC, ABC, and all these kind of guys, like, why is anyone going to advertise on your network when Facebook can broadcast it and you can advertise on Facebook and actually know who you're talking to?
I know.
And again, you know, I mean, just like, it's a major shift that like people are just thinking like, oh, it's just social media. No, it's not. This is the landscape of the world is changing. Just how I look at it.
You know. And how, so in terms of advice, what advice would, there's two questions here. The first piece of advice, first question is, what's the best piece of advice that anyone has given you about moving into, about embracing disruption?
Advice, that's interesting. I think what I've gotten out of a lot of the online courses, which is very interesting, which I wouldn't have, you know, you got to keep, I've always had kind of an open mind. And I think really music has helped me do that. Just keep my mind open and looking at, I'm a scientist at heart. So I like to problem solve and analyze things. And that kind of forces you to keep an open mind. You can't assume that this is right. You want to figure out really how things work.
Is there one piece of advice that someone's given you?
Yeah.
That's really to take action.
Yeah. It's to, you know, when I first heard it, I just underappreciated it. Like, well, yeah, I know I have to do something. Sure. I have to know I have to put in the work, or if I want to learn something or whatever, or not be intimidated by new technologies, but taking the action to go learn about them, go experience them, go figure out what it actually is. You know, because your natural reaction is, I don't even appreciate it's something I should learn about, or I'm pissed about it, or this sucks, I like the way it used to be. You know what I mean? You got to take action and see what the real value is. Then you can make a decision whether you want to be involved in it or not, you know?
And I guess
how you should react to it.
I guess because you can't learn to play the saxophone by reading a book.
No. You got to experience these things, you know, like, because you're going to get disrupted. Things are going to change, and you have to decide how you react to it. And the only way you can understand what the proper reaction should be for you is if you figure it out. What does this mean for me? I have to experience it somehow. I have to try some of this stuff. You know, you just got to keep trying and dabbling to see like, oh, this might be something I actually just love. You know, like, but your initial reaction might be you're scared of it or something, you know.
And your objective was to take control of your lifestyle, to no longer, you know, have to write that report for 9 o'clock on Monday morning. Or is it working? Does it work? So going through all the pain and the disruption and the learning at the end of it, is it all it's cracked out to be?
I'll let you know when I get there, man. I mean, it's, you know, I think you have to love the process. and this is the thing about, you know, like I'm a big Eckhart Tolle fan, you know, The Power of Now. I don't know if you know that book or who he is, but I've really been changing my thought process and my mind, understanding like, you know what, you really only have today. The reality is there is no past. There's no future. We only have the present. And so you got to design your life around things that you really enjoy, around the process of building something. You can't wait until you have this $1 million in the bank to be happy or to think you're successful. You got to do it now. And whatever you're doing now, you have to really enjoy. So in that regard, I'm loving it because I'm learning tons of new things. I'm meeting new people. I'm talking to the people I want to talk to. I'm finding out things I want to find out. So it's been great for me. And I would say very successful for me so far.
And that's the revolution. And that's the, yeah. is that the perfect outcome of the reinvention revolution is to find what is the perfect outcome? What have you found that is something that, is there something that has really surprised you that is the outcome far better than expected? Or
yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, because you know, I thought, well, I'll, this is a way to learn about the digital world, and I'll learn how to market the podcast, I'll learn how to build websites. You know, there's sort of the technical grind part of it. I'll learn how to produce it, learn how to record things, which is fun. But the connections that I'm making and the people that are enjoying the value that I'm giving through it, and the thoughts that I know I've been able to convey to some of these guys, you know, because there's some other musicians I know and friends of mine that we talk about starting different businesses or different ideas they have. And they're just like, I can see in their faces, yeah, their mind being cracked wide open, man. You know? And that for me is fun, you know, because it's like, you know, when there's something that you enjoy that you really have insight about, and when you can turn someone else onto it, it makes it all worth it.
That's exciting. It sounds like it's just the beginning of great things ahead.
Yeah, I really feel that it is, you know, because there's tons of things that I'm seeing now that I've been doing it, avenues that can really be fun to keep creating. So for me, it's you know, I get to stroke that creative part of me that's, you know, been dormant sometimes when I'm just doing an engineering project or project management stuff.
And that must be incredibly fulfilling as well, because I think that ability to create is the lifeblood.
Yeah. I mean, this is really, podcasting has turned into this new creative outlet. I mean, that was one of the things I got from Podcast Movement, right?
Yeah.
These different niches and just weird things and people doing crazy things with their podcasts and, you know, monetizing them maybe, but not, you know, maybe it's just a pure creative outlet. I mean, it's all over the map. Which is, it's kind of reminded me of the early days of the music industry in a way.
Fantastic.
Where it's like, you can get your voice out there and try different things, and there's no limits. There's no, you know, sort of channel that you have to go down. I think the people that might be struggling with it a little bit are the, you know, traditional radio guys and the NPR people in the world that, you know, no, audio must sound like this.
Yeah, yes.
You must do this with it, you know, and you have to have a 30-minute, you know, break after 30 minutes for the commercials and all that.
Yeah, I was
stuff.
Gonna say, we've been talking far too long. We need some adverts here. Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, I mean, that whole world is just gone, blown up, you know. So it's a real I enjoy when things are not totally when there's no like strong path. You know, that's why I've always liked working in the advanced development world, where you're creating stuff and then you have to make the market for it. You know, people don't even understand that sometimes when they're, even the startup people don't even understand that sometimes, you know.
Yes.
They think that they're going to create their technology thing that everyone can see their exact vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they see it. And it's like, no, you have to actually make the market for your device. Even if there's value to it, there's still a long road to go down in terms of educating, understanding, showing people the value, so that, you know, then they wake up in the morning thinking like, oh yeah, I do need one of those. Then, you know, the market's made. But if they don't know about it,
it's almost like you've stepped out. What's that expression? You can't read the label when you're inside the bottle. So just by doing what you've done, by stepping out, is the world now endless and limitless in terms of possibilities?
That's what it feels like. Yeah. I mean, cause it's, you know, like I said, making some room in your life to just sit back, take a deep breath, really look at your life before you, how you might want it to play out. Because, you know, you can really get in a rut and, like, you know, blink your eyes and 7 years have gone by. Right?
Yeah. I'm trying not to blink here.
Right, exactly. And you're like, what the hell was I doing? And you might have been just working on that one project or dealing with that one relationship you had. And you're like, well, what? You know? Yeah. So I want to be more conscious of, you know, the possibilities and take advantages of some of them, you know?
That's fantastic.
That's really what it's about. You know?
Wise words indeed, Jim.
And I hope that makes sense. Now, you know, if I can else do it, if they're listening.
No, listen, no, it makes perfect sense. I mean, it resonates. It's absolutely right. You know, how time just is that one thing you can't get back. And you've constantly got to be, you know, with your head above the parapet looking for stuff, ready, you know, and willing to take the arrows just in case. And the trade-off is to, you know, is to advance and to learn and to create.
Yeah, because it's, you know, getting left by the wayside is not going to be fun. You know, I know that for myself, if I get locked out of some kind of opportunity or industry, or, you know, you don't want to get laid off. I mean, the best antidote to that is just to be proactive, take that action, you know, keep re-educating yourself, and you'll never be in that spot, you know.
Exactly. And now in terms of education, I would like to educate the listeners and the viewers of this particular show by asking you 10 questions. So now is the time for the rapid fire questionnaire, courtesy of James Lipton of the Actor Studio. James, thank you very much indeed. Question number one.
All right.
Jim, what is your favorite word?
My favorite word, I think, would be improvisation. So, you know, I like jazz improv, playing my horn. But I think it applies to life as well. And the more you can get good at feeling comfortable having to improvise, I think it makes a world of difference in your life, you know.
That's fantastic. Brilliant. So my second question, what is your least favorite word?
My least favorite word these days is, I would say, selfie.
Okay, I'm with you there.
I don't even like saying it. It's like sounds stupid, and it's like, why is it a portrait, or I don't know.
Well, I tell you what I came across the other day, which I thought was a brilliant piece of marketing. And I can't remember the name of the company, but the consumers were encouraged to take a selfie. And a selfie was them standing next to this sort of, I'll look this up and put it in the show notes. But you're standing next to this shelf in a supermarket or in a store. Uh-huh. Your favorite consumer goods, and you were taking a selfie and posting that. So I thought that was quite a fun variation on the term selfie.
Right, variation on a theme there.
Anyway, yeah, this is about you, not about me. So number three, question number three, what are you most excited about right now?
I would just say the possibilities of what will come out of the podcast.
Oh, wonderful.
You know, just making the connections and... you know, I don't have a strong vision of what I'm going to do. It's just like, I'm just being open for what's coming my way, you know?
Well, that's great. In fact, it's great not having an agenda, because then it just makes everything a lot purer.
Yeah, right. You know, because I spent most of my, you know, career so far having an agenda, like, you know, we need to do this. We need to do that. We've got to get this done. We, you know, now it's just, I'm kind of exploring right now. It's fun.
My next question then is, what turns you off right now?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm in a pretty good happy zone, which is nice. So I'd probably say like negative people, or kind of people that are afraid or worried about, you know, the world or the economy and those kind of folks. It's just like, you know, that's bringing me down. And I feel bad for them, because it's like, yeah, I have those feelings too, but, you know. What I've learned, like, there's actually some psychology, I should remember the reference about this, but talking about like being a boss and, you know, how you treat people. And there's actually just no kind of valid reason, just as my engineer mind at work, to be negative.
You're right. But, you know, particularly if you treat everything as a learning experience.
Right. And to, you know, get into that worry zone and all that kind of stuff. It's not proactive. It's bad for your health. Doesn't change the situation. I mean, just all these crazy things.
I'd say that's a whole separate podcast, believe me.
Right. Why do people live there? I have no idea.
We should explore that. But my next question, what sound or noise do you love?
Let's see. I would say the sound of the ocean, because I'm going to Mexico and I'm looking forward to it. I'm leaving for Mexico on Wednesday. So I'm going down to the Dropship Lifestyle. So it's an e-commerce thing, retreat. It's in Playa del Carmen. And so I've been thinking about being at the beach here in a couple of days.
Yeah, think about the beach and clearly not thinking about drop shipping. So
yeah, no,
sounds really like an excuse to me.
We'll a little bit, and then we'll party a lot. That's
fantastic. And there'll be one like 20-minute sort of, you know, video about drop shipping.
Right.
So what sound or noise do you hate?
Oh, you know what? Let me see. Sound I hate. I would say, you know, this time of year in Ohio, it's fall, and I hate the sound of leaf blowers.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Leaf blowers. I mean, it's like, it's annoying all weekend long. All weekend long. Like, early in the morning. And it's like where I live, the yards aren't that big. Like, you can rake the yard in about 15 minutes. These guys get out there with their leaf blowers and, you know.
I know, it's that perpetual sound. I know. I'm with you there. So, yeah. Which leads me nicely onto my next question, which is, what is your favorite curse word?
Well, you know, I thought about this a little bit. And, you know, don't be offended, Matthew, but go fuck yourself. That's my phrase that I really like.
That's
wasn't
very
directed exactly at you. I'll just answer your question, but you can go fuck yourself. Okay.
But that's like Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, East Coast. That's the Chicago.
Maybe that's what it is. You know, maybe that's what it is.
But which is brilliant. Which is just, you know, there's so many great curse words out there. my next question is: what profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
What I'd like to attempt. You know what? I thought about this a little bit. That I, after all these years of being involved in music, I've never really sang much. You know, I've been in bands where I sing backups.
Wow.
But I think I'd like to try to sing lead and develop my voice. I had enough time and energy to do it. You know, I think it'll be fun.
Right. My next question is: what profession would you not like to attempt?
I would say anything that has too much blood around it. So like not being a surgeon or something like that. It's just
messy.
Never been for me. Yeah, it's messy.
That's right. So human engineering
if it was like biology or chemistry, that would be okay. But if you're getting into the blood and gut stuff, I'm like, you know, orthopedic surgeon, that's not for me. I don't want to get a saw through bone or something.
Yeah, like okay. I get the picture. I'm visualizing too much now.
Right, exactly.
So my final question is, Jim, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Wow, this is a wild question. I never thought about this, but it would probably be something like, hey, do you have your horn with you?
You know, that's brilliant. Cool jam session. I've heard you play, Jim. Bring your horn up.
Yeah, that would be cool, man. You know, I'd be like, all right, I'm home. You know, that'd be all right with me.
Superb. So, Jim, how do people get hold of you? How do they find out more about Jim's reinvention revolution? How do they listen to your podcast? How do they follow you and your journey?
Okay, well, I have a website that goes with it, so it's just like it sounds. Jim's without an apostrophe. It says Jim'sReinventionRevolution.com. So you can go to the website. You can find it in all the you know, places you would find podcasts, like iTunes, Stitcher, you know, Google Play, all those places,
yep.
Or in your favorite podcast app on your phone. So yeah, that's the best place to get a hold of me.
Which is brilliant. And I've listened to your shows, and they are insightful. They're funny. They're brilliant. So I would recommend everyone should just get on and subscribe to Jim's Revolution. Let me see if I can get there. Jim's Reinvention Revolution. I'm even reinventing the title for you. Such is the power of your reinventionism.
Right. But
Jim, it's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you so much for being on Hooked on Startups, and look forward to speaking to you soon, following your progress, and listening to your podcast.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Matthew, for having me on. And I'll talk to you soon. And at some point, when I get back from all my travels and stuff, we'll get back connected. And I'd love to have you on the podcast as well. So
well, I'd be great. Thanks again, Jim.